Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Well, welcome back, dear friends, to this podcast, Never Too Late. It's such a grace for us to have you as devoted followers. And we thank you so much for your prayers and support of Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary. I'm delighted today to welcome to the conversation Deacon Ernesto Alonso, who is in his fourth year of theology and, please God, will be ordained a priest of Brooklyn, New York on June 3rd. Deacon Ernesto, it's a pleasure to have you with me today.
Thank you, Monsignor.
Deacon Ernesto is originally born in Cuba and was there until he was 28 years of age and came to the United States in 2007. And so you've got a pretty good experience of what the life of the church is like in a country like Cuba and the United States. Talk a little bit, Ernesto, if you would, about some of the similarities and some of the differences that you see in the life and the culture of the churches in those countries.
Indeed, the people of Cuba is a religious people. Since I was a child, I was taught by my grandfather how to pray at home. And then I made it to the church for my formation, my CCD classes and catechesis. The people in Cuba are people who struggle with economic situation and difficulties every day, but they trust in God. And they always believe that God is going to have the last word in their life. Coming here to this country was a big challenge for me, first of all, because of the language that I have been improving little by little during these years. But I noted that the church, it was, though the same Catholic church, different in the way of praising God and celebrating the sacraments. Here, everything is more organized for good, and the people in our countries are more spontaneous, and the faith is more vivid, the music, the way to celebrate Mass. So I have to adjust myself a little bit to the liturgy here, but it was a challenge and a blessing as well. Being here throughout this 15 or 16 years now, it has been a blessing in my life.
And you know, it'd be a very blessed thing for you and the Diocese of Brooklyn to let people know that we can broaden our experience of culture by introducing some of the good practices and good experiences that the church shows. We were talking just before we began the podcast today about the fact that you have relocated from Cuba to the United States. In many ways, you're a missionary, and what a wonderful and blessed thing that is for us. You bring a wealth of experience, you bring a whole culture that is going to be enriching the Diocese of Brooklyn in so many ways. Do you think of yourself as a missionary in a country that you've now made your own?
Yes, I do. And as a matter of fact, I was trained by Vincentian priests in my youth, so they are missionaries. Mm-hmm. And though Cuba is a land of mission, as most of the Latin American countries, this country has become also a land of mission because the people of God are thirsty of God, and there is such a big amount of priests and missionaries needed here to minister to those people.
We do. I wish I was able, through this podcast, to give our people a snapshot of the folks that we have here at Pope St. John Seminary, because it is one of the most interesting demographic groups you could ever look at. We have a good number of men from Latin America who are here, including Haiti. We have one man who's here from Australia. We have a number of men who are here from Africa. It's a very, very interesting community. And these are all men that are going out to dioceses in the United States. And it just strikes me as how rich the church in the United States is going to become because of this great cultural background that you folks bring to this work. Ernesto, when was it that you first gave some thought to the fact that God may have been tugging you towards the priesthood?
When I finished my high school, I was discerning the priestly vocation with the Vincentian priest back in the island. And then I was with them for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I did all my philosophical studies with them. And I'm still in touch with them. They're my home parish in Cuba. I have such good friends in the congregation of the mission. But then I have to step out of formation to take care of my elder grandfather who was alone at home. And I start working in the bank industry. And then I decide to come to this country when I was 28. I became a chef and I start cooking, which is one of my big passions in life. While cooking, I was working in parishes as a catechist and lector. Eventually, I became a deacon in one of those parishes in Astoria, Queens. And that call from the Lord was all the time on the back of my head. And I decided to discern this more seriously. And I ended up here.
How many years would you say that you were dedicated to working as a chef?
8 years first in Miami in the same company, and then three or four more years here in New York.
In New York, yeah. What's your favorite dish to cook?
I like Italian food because it's wide and it's rich and it's fun. I love to cook any kind of pasta, but my favorite is carbonara.
Yep, carbonara is a very good one. And I must tell you, he makes a wonderful chicken soup. You brought some to my room one day when I wasn't feeling well, and I got well immediately. Talk a little bit, Ernesto, about your experience here at Pope St. John. What were the challenges that you found when you arrived, and what were the blessings that you experienced?
This is a very solid house of formation. It's a blessed house of prayer as well. The first challenge that I had when I came here was the language, because I have to write papers in English, and I have to think theology in English, which I know from my country in Spanish, but I have to adapt myself to do everything in English. I have such a beautiful help from the American classmates correcting my papers and this and that at the beginning. And then I start developing the skill of not writing anymore in Spanish and translating, but writing in English and thinking in English. That was a big challenge. Fraternal life here, the support of the faculty, of my peers, everything has been a big blessing. I want to tell you, Monsignor, that when I was in first year, I lost my father suddenly. It was not expected. And the support and the fraternity that I had from all the seminarians here and the faculty in that moment of sorrow in my life was very remarkable. I never, ever gonna forget that.
The fraternity that we experience with each other, the rector here, Father Kiley, when someone says to him, how you doing? He says, I'm living the dream. It's just a very beautiful community. There are men out there who are in their middle ages and maybe even a little older than that who feel the tug at work in their own life. Do you have any advice that you'd like to give them in terms of what to do with that and how to bring it to a better understanding of what God wants them to do?
Yes, I do. I have been working alongside with you and another guys in the vocational committee. And the first thing that I always tell them that are thinking about a priestly vocation is to pray, to ask to God if this is the vocation that you want for me, but then do not be afraid. When Pope St. John Paul II went to Cuba in 1998, I remember vividly that morning in the Revolution Square. It was January 25th, 1998. When he said, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Those were words of Jesus Christ, first of all, and then wise words from a holy pope. And those were also a trigger for my vocation. Do what you have to do, do your paperwork, inquire in your diocese, talk to your vocational director, and be proactive, because if this is what God wants for you, it's gonna happen in God's time. Pray and do your part.
Very good. Those are solid words. One of the things that we just discovered recently, we did a little study on the attrition rate. And by that I mean, how many guys from this seminary get themselves ordained and remain in the priesthood through retirement or ultimately through death? And we came to discover that it is 94% remain faithful to the commitments that they make on the day of their ordination. That is an extraordinary figure. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact of the kind of fraternity that you experience as seminarians with the faculty and the good ways in which you experience that we've got to be in this together in order to be successful with the Lord. Ernesto, I want to thank you very much for being with us today and for talking about your own personal experience in coming to the priesthood. We wish you all the best as you make your way to the priesthood. And I want to thank our audience, those of you who are so faithful to our podcast, we're really deeply grateful to you. And I want to say again, if you see a man in his middle ages, could be someone who in fact had been married and lost their spouse through divorce and annulment or through death, and thinks that he'd be a very good priest, don't hesitate to say something to him and point him in the direction of at least opening himself, as Deacon Ernesto said so beautifully, to prayer to God. Would you be open, Lord, to wanting to call me in this direction? Sometimes it's the key that unlocks everything so easily for a man to give some thought. So with that thought, and with our dear thanks to you for being so faithful, I look forward to seeing you again at our next podcast.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.